Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host in crime, the captain himself, Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, it is good to be with you. It's good to see you. How's your week been?
Starting out.
This video, I guess, since last we recorded.
Yeah, this video is it's kind of glitchy right now. Sorry.
It is. I'm worried about internet issues here.
Yeah. So far it's been pretty well. Last week I was dealing with this like weird queasiness, nausea. I don't know. It's like on and off thing.
Yeah.
Last Tuesday it was weird. I like came home. It felt like feverish and ill. It wasn't very fun.
Not good.
So
not good. Don't like
trying
that.
Trying to recover from that. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Yeah, good here too. Lord's Day went well. Got a couple member pastoral interviews to do this week and then next week. Actually, after recording this episode, I have a young lady coming over to our place here, and me and Pastor Colton, or as Jack calls him, Discount Baker Mayfield, are going to be conducting her pastoral interview. So that's going to be fun. I do see it. Like it is there. Like he's got
the 5 o'clock shadow.
He's got the chiseled chin.
He's got the facial.
Facial
recognition going.
He's a good looking guy. He is, for sure. Looking forward to that. But Jack, we are continuing in our liturgy series, which I'm super excited about. But before we do that, we know what time it is. It's time for everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. Jack, I have got some doozies for you today, my friend. I was debating which one to hit you with first. And I think I'm gonna choose this one because, Jack, you know, there are some denominations out there, all right? None that you and I have really ever been a part of, but that take, you know, Old Testament very, very literally. And when it's time to either install a new pastor or a deacon, or some of these denominations just seem to find any excuse whatsoever. It could be literally the individual's birthday. Some take great pride and pleasure in pulling out the oil
Okay. And this isn't Diddy oil. This is something different. This is David oil. Okay. Something different. We ain't getting this at Costco. Okay. All right. Oh my God. But you know, and they'll do the little, you know, the little, it's time, you know, let's pour some oil over and, you know, anoint the individual, right? This church takes it to a whole nother level.
Oh no.
Let the power of the Lord fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing.
That's okay. Okay. There's a lot here. Oh, hold on. No, I can't watch it again.
So off-putting. So off-putting.
There's a lot here. There's a lot going on in this video, okay?
Okay. First of all, the guy in the back, can you stop sensationalizing the oil pouring and the rubbing? This looks questionable.
So, for those that don't watch on YouTube, and again, if you want to see this, go onto YouTube because it's all there. For those that are just listening, we have an individual, a couple individuals. One of them is sitting in a chair, and they're all dressed to the nines. Like these guys, like this is obviously a church where you dress your best for the Lord. You dress your best for the Lord at this church, right? My man's sitting in a chair getting anointed. With oil.
With a gallon of oil.
They are pouring it over him. It's like you see, like when you get the oil, your oil changed, right? At like Jiffy Lube, and they take the big old thing and they just poured it. That's what's happening to my man right now. He is covered. Absolutely. Like they're waterboarding him with oil is what's happening right now. Okay. This is like they're.
Tell us where Osama's at.
Seriously, it's like, yeah, short of getting like interrogated. But the way that they're doing it, like the guy behind him is
not helping.
Pouring, and then he's like sensually rubbing it into his head.
I don't know what is going on there,
dude. It's so sensual.
It is so off-putting.
I got it. I mean, just
is he blowing on
he's
him?
Blowing on him, dude.
Oh my God.
He's blowing on him.
No, this is not helping. It's not helping.
Dude, that's wild. That is so much oil.
Probably one of the hardest Instagrams so far to eat right
oh,
now.
Oh, my goodness. That's something. That's something. All right. I got one more for you, dude. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
This one will pivot into our topic real well today. Jack, have you ever wondered what it would be like to have special music at your church performed by a guy who, let's just say, more than likely that evening has to go sing possibly the same song in Vegas.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we even start,
oh my gosh. Is this guy in okay. Journey? What's happening?
This guy. Okay. This guy woke up. He's getting ready for church. This dude looked in the mirror in the morning and thought to himself, this is it. This is the
this
outfit.
Is serious.
This is what I'm going to church in. I'm singing today, right? I'm making sure that like I look the part. He's got like who's the singer that he was part of a group and then they split up in the 80s. They did the what's their song? Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Wham?
Wham. But George Michael. He looks like George Michael. Like you ordered George Michael from Temu. Okay, he's Timu George Michael, and he's got this coat, which I'm pretty sure it's got these wings on it. Okay,
dude, he stole guarantee
you
diamonds.
No, guarantee you he made that himself.
Oh my,
this
gosh.
Dude, guarantee you he stayed up till 2 a.m. with bought a whole bunch of foil, no. tin foil, and made himself wings on his suit coat.
If he starts playing, if he starts singing Don't Stop Believin', I'm losing it.
Like, the only thing that could make this like even better is if he was not a great singer, right? So let's get into it. Although it's been said before, my heart is an open door. I'm willing, I'm ready. Where do you want me to go? Dude. Okay. So I want you to know this video goes on for another like 3.5 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
It is such a long song. And he like ends it. And it's like it's the most half-hearted clap in the world.
Please clap. Dude,
please clap.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, this guy's like honorarium is like a carton of Marlboros and an 8-ball. Like that's literally, he's like,
okay.
Hey,
if
you can get that for me, then wow. That'd be fantastic. Oh my goodness gracious. Well, I had to see it. So now you do. But that has been, don't forget to eat your Instagrams. And as always, people, make sure to send your entries. Anything local church related that you want part of this segment, we really, really enjoy watching these. But Jack, my friend, it is time for us to hop into our topic today. And we are continuing, as we said at the top of the up, continuing our series in liturgy, our liturgy series, our liturgical series, if you will. And I'm really excited for this series. It's something that I personally, I know Jack as well, I really geek out over liturgical stuff, any type of like church you know, structure and order of service, stuff like that. I get a lot of energy from it. So today we're starting at the top of the liturgical service, and every time, here, let me just pull up this really quick so that I know exactly what I'm talking about. There we go. So we're talking about the call to worship. Call to worship. Now, a lot of people might not know what a call to worship is. Again, just like we said last step, every church has a liturgy, right? It's either a good one or a bad one, right? It's either regulated by scripture or something else. And every church has their version of a call to worship. They're either, again, what I would consider a good one that sets the tone and the purpose of the day, or, you know, it doesn't, right? And you have openings like, you know, that guy that we just saw, right? So, but a call to worship is something that is, I think, really, really important because of what it is and what it does. And in a world and in a culture, especially in the kind of the American culture that we live in, we see a lot, and we'll get into this more in the app, we see a lot of influence within the local church, kind of the order of service, how the church service is structured, what they do. We see that regulated quite often by either culture, what's either popular in culture, right? Or what it is often referred to as felt needs. And that is, what is it that our congregation gets the most out of? And that's what we're going to use to make decisions within the local church on how we go about the Lord's Day service, right? And a biblical understanding of a call to worship is something that, as I said, it sets the tone and it proclaims the purpose of the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
It is why we are here. And it's not, I mean, it's you know, not to bury the lead. It's within the name itself. It is a call to worship, right? So the first thing that a call to worship does is that it calls the people to the business at hand. Mm-hmm. And the business at hand, when we come through the doors on the Lord's Day, on Sunday morning, and we gather corporately as a body of believers, we are there for a singular purpose, and that is to worship. We are there to worship God. And the elements of the Lord's Day service, what we include, should be for the purpose of worshiping the Lord and bringing God glory, right? And something how I often explain a call to worship to those that maybe aren't familiar with it or haven't heard of it before is that kind of once the call to worship happens, the regulative principle is in effect, yeah. Right? So something that I often advocate for is, you know, as a church, you know, because you are a family, you're going to have things like, you know, a lot of churches start with announcements, and that's totally fine. Our church does that as well. Something that I advocated for when we were putting together our liturgy for our service, something I advocated for was once the call to worship happens, right, and we have basically pressed start on the Lord's Day service, everything following that call to worship is within the regulative principle that we are called to uphold and observe on the Lord's Day, right? It should have the purpose of worshiping and glorifying God. So something like announcements, right? Just to give kind of a practical picture, something I advocated for is having the announcements happen before the call to worship. If there's business that needs to get done, if there's announcements that needs to get done, if there are, I would say, extracurricular things, if you will, that need to happen before the service, I often advocate to have those either before the call to worship or after the benediction, preferably before the call to worship, because once you give the benediction, it's really nice to be able to go out, then fellowship with one another and continue. In your Lord's Day. And the reason that I like having that there is to make and to communicate a clear distinction between the everyday goings on throughout the week and interactions that we have and the importance and the specific reason that we gather here on the Lord's Day at this time with these people for this purpose. And it is a time to worship. We are here to worship, right? A call to worship not only signifies the beginning of our service, but it also communicates a bunch of other truths that we're going to get into here in a few moments. But does that make sense, Jack? Am I communicating that clearly? That once we set the call to worship, right? And I'll have examples. A call to worship is normally, usually, I think best practice is it's a passage of scripture that one of the elders will read to call the church to order. Right? They call the Lord's Day to order. This is why we are here. One example, this is a great book right here. If you're on YouTube, it is a Call to Worship, a pocket resource by Robert. I never say this last name correctly. Robert Vachol. I know. I'm doing my best.
We're giving you grace, Josh. We're
Vachols, giving you grace. Right? Vachols. You got to say it fast. Vachols.
Vassals.
Yeah, it's not, but it's close. Yeah. Anyway, and what I love about this particular book is that he has throughout it different call to worships for like different types of Sundays. So he'll have call to worships For like the Advent season. He'll have call to worships in here for the Easter season.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Just kind of regular Sundays. They don't have like a special distinction to them. But mm-hmm. a call to worship is often normally a passage of scripture that the pastor will get up and read, calling the congregation to order, calling them to attention, and calling them to worship the Lord. So one example would be this one that I just pulled up. It's in the Christmas one, and he gets this call to worship from Isaiah 7, chapter 7, verse 14. The pastor would get up and say, "Good morning. It's time for the call to worship. Please stand." Our church stands, which I really like. And he will say, "Stand in awe before the Lord, for the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," right? And you're opening your service with scripture, right? Often we like to say, and this will come up a lot in our liturgy service, the liturgy is begun and ended and throughout filled with scripture. Mm-hmm. It is a word-centered liturgy, right? Yeah. And that's really, really important, because I think, Jack, in the context that we find ourselves today, in the culture that we find ourselves today, we often run into many things becoming central within the Lord's Day service that yeah. aren't scripture.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Usually even, I'd say it depends on how you frame your gospel welcome. So usually what mm-hmm. we do is we start out with like a worship call. Mm-hmm. In a sense, it's a very like, I would say it's more of like a very informal, "Hey, let's stand together and, begin worship and song to the Lord." Mm-hmm. So it's very informal at first. And then I think that's when we do our call to worship, which we call the gospel welcome,
yeah,
which incorporates the message of the gospel of yeah. who Jesus is, and a call. If anybody is familiar with this, you can go to, I think it's 10th, pretty sure it's 10th Avenue. Oh, I know it is. It's 10th Avenue Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia.
Mm, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure James Montgomery Boyce did this as his call to worship, where he basically addended Christ's call to all those who are weary. Mm. And then he started to say, to all those who are weary and need rest, to all those who fail and need strength. He would start to do that. So he yeah. kind of added to it. And then some other different pastors have added to it and addended it throughout the years. So we kind of do like a version of that. And then we add a scripture afterwards, or a call and response based upon a psalm.
Yes.
Afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And dude, call and response calls to worships are pretty cool. And he's got a lot in here too. One of them, pulls scriptures from Proverbs and Psalms. So the pastor will get up to begin the service. It's time for our call to worship. The pastor will say, "The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all." And the congregation in unison responds with, "We will be glad and exalt in you. We will sing praise to your name, O Most High." Right? Mm-hmm. Something that I love about a word-centered call to worship is that it sets the tone for the rest of the service, and it informs those that are in attendance what the business of the Lord's Day is, mm-hmm. right? And it's not something that is man-focused, but it's something that is God-focused,
yeah.
right? And we are worshiping the Lord, right? So that's what I mean when I say not only does the call to worship serve as kind of the start button, right? The kind of the beginning of the service, but it, within the call to worship itself, it communicates some really, really important truths. And another truth that it communicates is who the Lord's Day is for, mm. right? And this is a debate that often pops up every once in a while. I mean, you can almost set your watch to social media debates and things like that in terms of, okay, what are we going to be arguing about today? Yeah. But something that pops up often, I think it's actually a really good conversation, is when we talk about the Lord's Day, Sunday morning service, the question pops up often, who is that for? who is the Lord's Day service for? And there's a lot of really bad answers to that. Mm-hmm. And I would say a lot of in an attempt to come against the bad answers, we have a lot of almost right answers.
Yeah.
Like very close, right? So the common, I would say, in a lot of evangelical churches today, and Jack, you can speak on this a little bit, is the common thing that you will hear is that we need to be shaping and forming our Lord's Day service around the unbeliever that comes in to be in a place where they are evangelized and they can hear the gospel, and that we're going to be having a lot of unbelievers come into the church. So we need to make sure that our services are catered towards those that are looking for Christ in that way. How would you respond to that? Because that's something you and I have heard a lot.
Yeah. I don't think it is there primarily for evangelism. I think it is there for a building up of a kind of pouring into a strengthening of mm-hmm. the body.
Yep.
And then you get sent back out again throughout the week. And that's
right.
And your weekly time is your yeah. evangelism time.
Yeah, that's where the evangelism happens, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say we're not going to knock anybody for bringing, I mean.
Oh, I think no, absolutely
be,
not.
Yeah. I think it can be used in a way mm-hmm. that can sort of like break down certain like caricatures of right. like what church is and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's like a knock, like you can't bring your unbelieving friends here. It's like, no, you can bring them.
Oh, absolutely.
It's yeah. just not going to, like, to be quite honest, they're probably going to be like, what's going on? What sure. are you talking about? Yeah. It's a good time where you can get, I mean, if your pastors are really available and they have FaceTime with people a lot, and it's a very low barrier for that. I know right. some churches, depending upon your church size, the pastors could be really busy or they cannot yeah. be. But I know for my local church, it is very easy if a non-believer comes on a Sunday and is very interested about what's going on, there can be conversations afterward that happen.
Right.
So yeah, it's not a primary. I would say evangelism is very much in the back window of what the Lord's Day is there to be purposeful about. It's
yeah.
there to kind of build up and guide and strengthen and admonish the believers
yeah.
amongst you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we could say like the Lord's service is not for the purpose of evangelizing the lost, but the lost should be evangelized in your yeah. Lord's Day service.
Yeah.
Right? That is not what we tailor our service around. That is not the purpose of the Lord's Day. But if an unbeliever comes in to your church on the Lord's Day and does not hear the gospel, then you're doing yeah. it wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So it's those two truths that we hold. It's not for the purpose of evangelism, but evangelism happens whenever the gospel is proclaimed, and the gospel should be proclaimed throughout the entirety of the Lord's Day service, right? So it's understanding the purpose, and when you have the purpose correct, and you have a correct understanding of why are we here and what is this for, then the benefits and the outflow of that purpose is good and right and biblical.
Yeah.
Right. And not only are the believers edified, but the unbelievers that are in the midst hear the gospel and are called to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, because that's going to be part of your Lord's Day service. Right. And we'll get into those elements later in this series. Right. So Jack and I would reject the premise that the Lord's Day is specifically for the unbeliever, that we should tailor it for the unbeliever. It's not that we make the unbeliever feel unwelcome or that we do not preach the gospel. Both of those mm-hmm. things we need to understand. But like Jack said, there's a much deeper purpose to the Lord's Day, right? But often, Jack, what I will hear in response to, well, that incorrect understanding of the Lord's Day is that the Lord's Day is simply and only for the edification of believers. And if you're not going to a Lord's Day service as a Christian and you aren't getting fed, you aren't getting what you need spiritually, you're not getting what you need from the sermons, then you need to find a different church. Okay. That might be true.
Yeah.
There's a great possibility that that might be true. If your local church is not preaching the gospel, if they don't take the word seriously, if they're not proclaiming the Lord's gospel and the whole counsel of the word of God through the preaching, then yeah, that's going to be an issue, and that's definitely a conversation. But I think at times, and it's a very subtle difference, but I think it makes a big difference when we actually put shine light on it. Mm-hmm. I think in the attempt to come against the blatant, I would say, kind of self-focusedness that a lot of people have with the local church, we create one of our own. We just make it more spiritual.
Yeah.
And that ultimately, the Lord's Day service is not simply just for the edification of believers either. It's for the worship of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? We're worshiping the Lord in the service. And all those things happen, right? If those things aren't happening, then yeah, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
But Jack, have you found, as I have, that especially within reform circles, there is much more emphasis placed on what am I getting out of the service spiritually than what am I called to do here in the service as someone that has been called to worship?
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's seen not so, I mean, it could be seen across the board in just North American Christianity.
That's true.
In that a lot of people think that I need to have my Jesus time.
Yeah.
You know, I need to, and I mean, this goes hand in hand with what you and I talk about a lot on the Reformatory, where we talk about consumerism in the local church and that bleeding in to the local church from the culture.
Yeah. That's the next point. we're jumping ahead. Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. Yeah, I think if you look to like some real, I would say real reformed, capital R reformed folks, they might stress that a little bit more, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But I've never seen like some people in like the real reform canon, and I'm talking more along the lines of like your Presbyterianism, your kind of
They would say they're capital R reformed. Well, they're like, don't take that from us.
United Reform Church, Dutch Reformed kind of traditions, stuff along those lines. I would say maybe those folks would put greater emphasis on the Lord's Day. Than what maybe like us particular Baptists do and stuff like that. So maybe then they might look at it in the sense that, if I'm not getting, if the teaching pastor, the teaching elder is not doing their due diligence on the Lord's Day, then yeah, it's a non-negotiable for them. I don't know.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. 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 And that's a given, right? Like we already said, if the word isn't being preached, if the sacraments aren't being observed, then yeah, like you've got bigger problems than just this. I guess what I'm looking into is seeing the distinction between the edification of the believers on the Lord's Day being the purpose versus the byproduct. And what I mean by that is that if we come to the Lord's Day with the correct understanding of why we're there, and that is to corporately gather together, like Jack said, to worship the Lord through these things, right? The Lord's Day service, through those elements, will encourage, edify, convict the believers in attendance, right? The Lord's Day service is for the purpose of worshiping God through the preaching, the praying, the singing, the observing of the word, through the ordinary means of grace. And through this, through all of these elements, the saints are truly edified. Mm-hmm. And if we come into the Lord's Day service with a mentality of, well, I just don't really jive with the preaching, or I just don't really, I don't really feel like the music is my style. I find it hard to sing the music. It's in a wrong key. Or I don't really like the songs that we sing. I don't really like, you know, how, you know, often or not often we take, you know, communion, right? Again, future topic. Oh, right. Yeah. I think you're going to find that if we go into the Lord's Day service with the mentality of a hyper focus on, well, how am I going to be edified today versus how am I going to let go of the things that I need to let go of, put my preferences aside, and how am I going to worship the Lord in the way that he wants to be worshiped? I don't know about you, Jack, but I've been on both sides of those fence, and I find the worship that I have on the Lord's Day is so much sweeter when I have the correct mentality of why I'm there. Because I don't know about it, maybe it's just the Baptist in me, but I can get super hyper-focused and hypercritical like really quick, mm-hmm. you know? And that's something that I find is very easy for me to do. And I found that having the motivation of being there, knowing I'm going to be edified, knowing I'm going to receive that, but it's because the focus is true and we know that we're here to worship the Lord. I find the worship is truly so much sweeter, and those things that I'm looking for happen as a consequence, as a byproduct of that correct focus. Yeah. And it's a distinction that I think is often minute, but often important. And especially when we're talking about the truths that the call to worship promotes and proclaims to the congregation, right? Like we said at the beginning, it calls the service to order, if you will. It reminds us of why we're there. It communicates who's the Lord's Day is for, right? It's for the believers, the edification of the believers through the worship of the Lord. Right. Mm-hmm. Just like Jack was saying. And I would say the third one is that it communicates how we should approach the Lord's Day. Right. And yeah. we're starting to get into that is why am I here? What's the purpose of me being here?
Yeah.
Right. How should I be approaching the Lord's Day that morning? Right. How should I be preparing my heart for the, and Jack, maybe this is something that I'd love to throw over to you. Cause I know you and I do this in different ways. How do I prepare my heart for the Lord's Day Saturday evening?
Yeah.
Because I think that's often an overlooked aspect of knowing that you are going to be called to worship in a mere, you know, few hours. What are some ideas that you could throw to our people? And how do we prepare our hearts to worship even the evening before?
Yeah. I think that my local church says this a lot. You're not, maybe one Lord's Day is not going to be some sort of magical meal.
Mm.
It's not going to be this. I know I'm using a cheap substitute, but like a Cheesecake Factory moment, right?
Right.
I usually get the honey truffle chicken, and that's like a really big.
Dude, can I confess something to you? I don't know if I've ever been to a Cheesecake Factory.
Bro, we need to change this. There's Cheesecake Factory like literally like right across the way from me in Tacoma.
I don't know if I've ever been to one.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, back to my original thought.
Yeah, sorry. That, you got me thinking about cheesecake.
So. Yeah. One Lord's Day, it mm-hmm. may not seem remarkable, but 1,000 Lord's Days will build upon each other.
I like that.
In order to give you more of a, how do I say it? The means of grace are going to continually deposit into you more and more and more over 1,000 versus just one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people think sometimes that if I show up to one Lord's Day,
right,
and maybe this is more of the nominal Christian. I don't know if I'd call them Christian at all.
I think we probably all struggle with it to a certain degree, for sure.
Yeah. But I do think that for me, when I think about the Lord's Day, some of it is is the essence of serving, mm-hmm. and just being there to serve your brothers and sisters and mm-hmm. to check mm-hmm. in on them and to be just a conduit of, you know, the Lord's love to them and his grace to them. Mm-hmm. I think another part of it too is just having open hands, like the open hands of faith.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think that on the Lord's Day, they're there to get reamed or there to get condemned.
Sure.
And purified in order that they would get the needed kind of whitewashing that would happen through, you know, communion or the word or something like that.
Sure.
And I think it's more along the lines of like, you're there with open hands, like the Lord's Day is there for sufferers and sinners. And the Christian is both.
Yeah.
You are both a sufferer in that you suffer because you have, you know, this indwelling sin in you mm-hmm. that will not be rid of until you go back to be with the Lord or he comes again. And then on top of that, you know, you're a byproduct of this environment that we live in, which is a sinful world.
Yeah.
And so it's the Lord's Day is there for sufferers and sinners to hear those words that Jesus says when I think of the Lord's Day, which is come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
And I think also, this is getting more biblical theology into it. If you look at the word rest, or if you look at the word Sabbath, when God says that he rests on the seventh day, it's not that God is lazy right. or that God right. gets tired.
Yeah.
It's that God is reigning. Like God literally sits on his throne on the Sabbath and he rules and reigns. And so in some ways, like for us, Jesus both calls us to like rest because we are like naturally weak as humans. But he does call us as well too to be his co-heirs if we are Christians as well too. And so he calls us to essentially like be with me. And that's seen in several different epistles to where we're called as co-heirs of Christ.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's dual. I think part of it is your soul needs a healing balm, but you also need to be reminded of the fact that you do have a witness and a responsibility as a believer.
Yeah.
To continue this gospel.
Yeah.
And that's hard sometimes. And that's why I think the Lord's Day is important, because if you don't have that, you're going to go into your week. You're going to be absolutely rudderless. And you're literally going to be carried by any wind that comes up to blow you, you know, across the sea. And how am I supposed to witness to or maybe carry into the week nothing of the Lord, really. Nothing of the Lord's word or his people or anything to get that push to go into the week to where you are a missionary. Most of us, I would say, aren't in a quote unquote Christian company or surrounded by Christians in the Northwest.
Sure.
If it is, it's a very small business maybe. Most of us are going into a place where there's not a whole lot of believers and you're trying to be a good witness. You're also trying to show people how this may be getting into more, you know, interesting territory. You're also trying to show people how humanity is there to be a factor in kind of like showing what God's kingdom is like. So what I mean by that, that's like, it's called the, there's a cultural mandate, right? As humans that we have to where we're called in which to kind of show that we're supposed to live in harmony or even, you know, kind of why are we here on this earth? And it is to work and keep. And those words come up a lot
Yeah.
And so if you're right. a believer, those that work and keep language is used not only for Adam when he's made to kind of work and keep the garden, but it's called for by the Levites. And then it's used for sometimes even believers as well in the New Testament, that they would work and keep at what they're doing with the gospel. And so, yeah, I think those are really important themes for why the Lord's Day is important. The three that come to mind the most. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree, man. Yeah. And it's, I think we have trouble often, even those of us who are, very particular in our theology, right? And rightly so. But I think we have trouble simply because of the culture that we live in allowing the culture to come in and infiltrate and dictate our thinking when it comes to the Lord's Day, right? And we have trouble thinking about the Lord's Day in very earthly terms.
Yeah.
And something I love about the call to worship portion is that, like we've said throughout this ep, it sets the tone, it sets the standard, mm-hmm. and it proclaims the reason why we are there. The Lord's Day service is not for your felt needs, right, or your preferences. It's not for you to get, something out of it. We are here with a purpose, and we're here to worship the Lord. And through those things, through the preaching of the word, through the prayer, through the singing, through the observance of the sacraments, we are edified and we're encouraged. And we are, like Jack said, we're reminded that we are, what was it, sufferers and what? Sufferers and?
Sinners and sufferers.
Sinners and sufferers. I love that. We're reminded of those things. And we're reminded of how Christ has perfectly covered over those things and gives us the strength to live another week. Uh-huh. So as you enter into the Lord's Day and as you're preparing your heart for the Lord's Day, even Saturday night, read the passage, pray for your pastors, pray for your fellow members, meditate on what you are going to be called to do in the morning. You are going to be called to worship. There's a responsibility there, and that's important, right? And this is where I love being Baptist, is because we are very congregational, right? We're corporate in our worship. Yep. And it is not just someone standing up there on a stage and we're just experiencing it all. We are called to participate in the Lord's Day service. And part of that is readying your mind, readying your heart to receive the word and to worship the Lord in the way that he desires to be worshiped. And man, when you have a church that is full of people that are doing that, that are united in the purpose of worshiping the Lord together, you look around at your brothers and sisters and you see that unity that you have, there is nothing sweeter than that. There's nothing better than that. And I think a lot of people miss that when they, kind of maybe reject a liturgical service, reject kind of the importance of having structure in your service, is that we lose the reason why we're there. And the call to worship being kind of the first aspect of that liturgy, a lot of people just think it's just the way of starting the service. It's so much deeper. And there's so much, it's so much more important in what it's proclaiming to the people of God, that you are here for a reason, and what you are going to receive because of why you're here is better than anything you're going to get in the world. It's better than anything you can conjure up yourself. The encouragement and the edification and the life that you as a sinner and a sufferer are going to receive through this, because you are here to worship, is beyond anything that this world or yourself can offer. That's what the call to worship proclaims.
Yeah.
And it's important. It's important.
Yeah. I just think of Genesis a lot, as we're finishing up. I just think of Genesis, like the first words in the Bible are that call to worship. Mm. And, when I think about it, when I hear the words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, you can take that forward in your Lord's Day service, mm-hmm. and know that every single Sunday he is fashioning you into the image of his son.
Yeah.
He is fashioning you into his people. you yeah. are his new creation. If you're a believer, you're his new creation. And that's what he's done. And that's, I think it's a constant reminder. That's why a lot of people talk about, you know, the Lord's Day service being a reminder to us continually yeah. over and over again that we need that. And so,
yeah, well, that's why you see so many call to worships come out of the Psalms. Yeah. Is because the Psalms are chock full of that God focused adoration,
yeah.
right? And that you are so unlike us. Mm. You are so above us. You are just so different from us. And yet what our liturgy preaches is that even though God is so different from us, look at what he has done for us
yeah.
in the person of Christ. And the call to worship reminds us of that. And it calls the people, say, hey, you are here for a reason. Mm-hmm. Worship the Lord and receive what he has given you. Man, I love liturgy so much. Mm-hmm. The call to worship. If you don't have a call to worship in your Lord's Day service, I would highly suggest start to integrate one and call your people to the business at hand, right? Remind them of why they're there on the Lord's Day. It's pretty yeah. cool. It's pretty yeah. cool. Again, this book, Calls to Worship, a Pocket Resource, really cool book. I think you can get them on Amazon. They're not expensive. I use this a lot when fashioning calls to worships for our Lord's Day services. He's got them split up, like I said, in a whole bunch of different types, if you will, or seasons of calls to worships. It's pretty cool. It's a good resource. But Jack, we could keep on going, but it's probably time to record some Patreon episodes for our folks. Why don't you get us out of here, my man?
Yeah, if you appreciate Josh and I's perspectives, and I know this is a hard word to hear sometimes, vacillations, if you
vacillations.
Will.
Not as hard as this guy's last name.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, Vash. It's literally Vash holes. Is like, how would you say yeah. that? You can't really see it. Vashols.
Oh, yeah. It could be vassals.
That's even worse.
Vassals.
I don't know.
It's a Z
know.
On it. It's some sort of.
Yeah, it's
some
German
sort of
or
Slavic
something.
Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. I don't
yeah.
know. Anyway, you can follow us more on our continued series as we go through the liturgy on liturgical service and liturgical aspects of Lord's Day service. You can follow us as we go through this series on the sociables, if you will.
That's right.
Metaverse, the Facebook, the Instagram, like we talked about. I've had our heavy and healthy dose of Instagram with chocolate and marshmallow. Or you could follow us on the sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the tag at ReformatoryPod. You could drop us a message, comment, question, concern, maybe episode idea after our series ends in liturgy. Mm-hmm. And we can get to it when we can. But Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they can support us in our other endeavors.
That's right. There are multiple ways you can do that. As we said earlier in the app, you can see us on YouTube. Head on over there and watch this episode as well as Let's Do It. It definitely makes the Instagram segment a lot more fun when you can see what we're laughing at. So you can head on over there, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications. As the kids say, we'd greatly appreciate that. Send us, as we said, more videos for that Instagram segment. You can like this podcast, rate and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. We ask that you do that as well. Helps to get the podcast out to more people. That would be really, really awesome of you to do. That'd be really cool. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. And for $5 a month, that's all it is. You get the main episodes early. You get exclusive content that we only post on Patreon. And you get two bonus eps every single week. Wednesdays and Fridays normally is when we try to drop them. And for $5 a month, you could join the podluck, as we call it. And if you do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening. We will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.